She want a copy of the thing afterwards because she forgot her laptop. Brenda gave her a copy of the Newark meeting to help her fill in because there were a lot of folks talking at that time. Take a look at the minutes. I hope you've had a chance to look at them for October in New Jersey. Those of you who are there, if you have anything particular, comments about additions or whatever, and Renee is going to go over the substance of the meeting, but if there are any changes or questions about the minutes per se, then can I have a motion to approve? Oops, can't even do that. Right.
What is our quorum? Is it 2/3 or is it just...
No, one over half. John comes in, we can approve this one. Okay, so we're on to you already, Renee. If you want to just give the flavor and a little bit
I'll
more.
I'll give the flavor.
I don't mean to cut you short, but I mean...
No.
Talk about the meeting.
Yeah, as somebody organizing the meeting, let me just give you like a little sense of behind the scenes in terms of there were a group of people invited, and most of them came. So I'll tell you who was there, and then I'll tell you who didn't come. And that was kind of interesting in and of itself. So you probably saw a lot of this. I don't want to belabor it. But there was Lee Keough, who's the managing editor of New Jersey Spotlight, Nancy Solomon, of course, whose title officially is managing editor of New Jersey Public Radio. We had Jim Schachter, VP of News at WNYC, of course, and Debbie Gallant, who's the director of the New Jersey News Center, Commons, Center for Cooperative Media. I'll tell you what these are in a second. And Stephen Johnson, who was a professor at Montclair State, which is where a lot of these organizations are housed already or will be housed. And then what happened was we had one representative, Marta Bonta, from WQXR, who was going to come to talk about arts coverage in New Jersey. Marta had a sick child. She could not come at the very last minute. And another academic that had been invited was Robin Gavin Fisher from Rutgers Newark, who never showed up, period, and wrote me a note the next day. I just thought it was very bad form, saying she was so sorry she didn't come. She got caught up in a meeting that lasted till 9 o'clock. And I thought, well, if you have a commitment, then you definitely should come. And she didn't even call or drop a note or anything. But she said she's very interested in working on it in the future. So I wrote her a very short note. And then there was a representation from WBGO, the jazz station in Newark, which was great. And there were several people from there who came. And at the very last minute then, since we had really two missing people on the panel, Doug Doyle, who is the WBGO news director and also a professor at Rutgers Newark, I didn't know, filled in, and he was a very good but spontaneous additional person. So that's who was there. And they were really, I thought, and anybody correct me, I thought that they were a marvelous panel with a lot of different lenses on New Jersey and enthusiasm about participating in our discussion. Brenda was there. And Ellen Colliner, our trustee representative, was there. And how many of us? Just a small group.
Six or seven.
Yeah, Beth and MJ and
Lisa. Lisa came and Kate Rath,
yes,
and then Luann.
Yes. And then spontaneously, and again, I didn't know this till much later in the meeting, the person from the Dodge Foundation came. And he was sitting in back, and that was interesting because they have been funding some initiatives, and there was a spontaneous discussion about Foundation funding.
What's his name?
His name is, I'm sorry, just give me a second. Do you know people there? Chris Daggett.
I know the former head of the...
Oh, his name is Chris Daggett.
Hey, John.
He is, oh, great. He is actually the president and chief executive officer of the Geraldine R. Dodge Foundation. And so I'll tell you really fast. Some of the things we discussed. We looked at plans for WNYC in the stations. And Jim Schachter said that they are planning to hire two more reporters and, you know, build more partnerships with news organizations in New Jersey. An example of that is a collaborative schools project, which is looking at school reform in Newark with the Quitman Street Community School. And there will be a series, and that is happening along with some researchers from Teachers College, which is very interesting, to look at this over a long period. So they're looking at some projects that will have some duration as well as short-term news, and that's very important. And as I said, Montclair State is going to be a kind of hub, and Debbie Gallant explained how this New Jersey News Commons that has a Knight Foundation grant, she calls it the New Jersey News Ecosystem. And so there is this sense, and that this was part of the discussion, of the collaborative nature now of New Jersey News media outlets trying to support each other as news itself is changing. So there, the online forum of New Jersey News Spotlight, the Newark Star-Ledger, the universities, and I think it was you, Beth, who asked the question about this cooperative, collaborative nature of news versus competitive, which everybody knows as you try to scoop the other one. So Debbie Gallant was saying that this is a kind of new model, and they're working on it, and working with bloggers, and then the issue of citizen journalism. And they spoke about, as an example, of Brian Lehrer and how he manages to get citizens out there to connect to news and report back in, since everybody can't be everywhere. So I think it was a very interesting sort of discussion of some of the new ways that they're thinking about covering New Jersey news. And the other thing was that they felt that there would be more quality news from New Jersey as a result of more eyes out there to be able to see the scope of what's going on. Now, Marta Bonta from QXR sent an email that just indicated very briefly of what QXR is doing and that they are attentive to New Jersey arts. They're working with NJPAC. They have done some work with the New Jersey Symphony, the Orchestra for a New Century, and Peak Performances concerts at the Kessler Theater at Montclair State. So arts are in the mix, and I was sorry she wasn't there, obviously, but we did have a little sense. And then the other thing was, in these micro sites, Debbie Gallant, before being at Montclair, had... run, I think, for about 7 years, something called barista.com. And she was describing how these hyper-local sites are also adding to the mix. So it was barista.net, not .com. There's something called farmalot.com, which is a spin-off at the Star-Ledger that covers the pharmaceutical industry in New Jersey. There's something called WeirdNewJersey.com for, as if we all know from New Jersey, since I consider myself a Jersey girl, even though I live here now, born there. It's about local New Jersey news, and it has 65,000 followers on its Facebook page, and things like that. And New Jersey Spotlight, which is totally and strictly online, deals with local bloggers. Nancy Solomon, Joyce and I had met with Nancy prior to this, just Nancy and actually Marta. And Nancy Solomon's question about the only online site was, how can you keep reporting in depth when you're doing this sort of online journalism? So there was that issue about, you know, depth versus breadth. And but the feeling was, and if you go to New Jersey Spotlight, I really urge you to go to some of these sites if you're not familiar with them. They really do good work, I thought. And there is depth. We looked at how journalists, young journalists, are being trained these days at Montclair, and only tangentially, we didn't get enough talk about Rutgers, but the feeling was that kids today might not be getting enough in-depth journalistic coverage, and there will be internships and things like that, but it's there wasn't a sense I had that the young students today were getting the same kind of quality of training. They said that themselves.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but didn't they also say that the choices they were making were for sports and entertainment?
They said that a lot of...
They were not choosing.
Yeah, they weren't choosing hard things.
This is a one school's representation, though, right?
Of course. Yes. Yeah, we can't, you know, I mean, we could do more research if we want to see how it's going down elsewhere. But that was their general impression. This issue of foundation funding, so the Knight Foundation, the Dodge Foundation, and how that's not sustainable in the long run, so how to monetize this kind of coverage and what's the best way to do that was certainly an issue. Chris Daggett from Geraldine R. Dodge commented that the challenge is to look at different business models to figure out how to monetize. Foundations are not bottomless pits, so we need to move away from private foundation support solely, certainly. I don't think he meant at all. The issue also was to get the public to appreciate the kind of quality news that there is going on and, you know, really respond to it. And they said subscription-based funding like WNYC's will give a balance, although it probably could never all be funded by individual generosity. So we all know that. I would say that's the essence. It was very modestly attended. We probably had about, 18, 19 people in the
world. I think more like 25.
25, okay.
But not too many of the public, though. They're all connected one way or another.
Yeah, it was like the BGO people were there, foundation people. There was us. So there were a few very passionate people from the public, as there generally are if they drag themselves out. I got there early, and there was one woman that had been waiting there since 4 o'clock. I could not figure it out.
When she handed me her resume, I figured it
out.
Oh, she did.
She had been a professor. She was very distinguished. She asked some questions. She was intense. My goodness, yes. But, oh, that's it. Okay. But she had been sitting there. That's what she said. So that was interesting. Let me see if I've left.
She's a potential CAB member.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Jim Schachter really, and if you've noticed, they're now saying all the time, WNYC and New Jersey Public Radio. Yeah. So that's become a fixture. And it seems to me that meeting really showed that there are lots of initiatives going on. And I think we should be proud of the fact that we captured some of this. But we have to talk about how the public gets to know this. They were very good, the station, I thought, about advertising this forum. They did it early. there was some language that Joyce and I looked at, and Brenda and I looked at, but they did add that language. They only wanted to mention Nancy Solomon, and that was, we needed to say, and representatives of the New Jersey media community, you know, and Brenda agreed to that, so we did. There was no, I don't know, does anybody know, I really haven't checked, like what the social media response was, if there was.
I looked on the CAB page, and we'll go into that later, and I didn't see any mention.
You didn't? So, no. So, and there was no streaming, of course, or anything like that for people to come and catch this any other way. And that's too bad. Now, Joyce raised an issue with me in the email the other day that Laura, I don't, maybe you could speak to that, about whether or not we should somehow carry forward with this, with the connections we've made and the context we've made, but there was very little guidance as to how that was seen.
Well, she was a question, and basically Ellen Poliner from the Board of Trustees had written Laura about what had happened, and Laura wrote back and said, she wrote back to Laura and copied me, I hope that you and your families are coping well in the aftermath of Sandy. I want to thank you for your extraordinary support of our work and hope you've been finding comfort in our coverage. This is a strange thing because it's like to everybody, but she copied me on it. It was her out general thing. But
is that Laura?
This is from Laura Walker.
From Laura. But Ellen wrote extremely enthusiastic.
That's not the one.
She is so supportive of us, I think, in general. Yeah. And Ellen said afterwards, you know.
She's on the Board of Trustees.
She's on the Board of Trustees.
She's on the liaison.
And she was there and she was great. And she came up afterwards and said, this is wonderful. And I'm so sorry, we have so few people here.
Yeah.
And she from New Jersey?
She's from New Jersey.
From the family that
I think she must be the family
of Jazz. It is, definitely.
From the New Jersey family.
Yes. Yeah. She's from South Orange, I think.
That makes sense.
And one of my good friends who lives in South Orange came, because she's my friend. And showed up. And she and Ellen actually knew each other, but of course didn't know that the other was going to be there. So that was kind of...
I'm sorry, I thought I brought that, but basically Ellen must have written to Laura afterwards saying what a nice event it had been, too bad there wasn't too many in the public, etc. And then Laura replied, does this indicate that you think there should be a follow-up, either by the Board of Trustees or by the CAB? And that's an open question for us, too, which is one of the things we're going to get to afterward, you know. We've opened a door here. And we hate to just drop it.
One of the issues that came up, and because everything is still just germinating now, including that Montclair Cooperative. Mm-hmm. And one possibility might be that we wait a year. I mean, you have to give it time to bear some fruit and revisit it so that we see how it's grown and blossoms and develops, you know. So that was more a suggestion after the fact, but could be.
I have a comment, if I may.
Of course.
Sorry I'm late. It seems to me that if the four stations in Toms River, Trenton, etc., are left to their own devices, that nothing much is going to happen. Mm-hmm. I may be wrong. But that the CAB should be involved long enough or to the extent that it makes sure that the views of the public in those listening areas are not ignored. And I think there's maybe potential for that.
How do you think we should do it?
I think we should do it by continuing to be interested and to express that and to follow up with either people that were attending the meeting from the media and with Ellen, who is a very strong supporter of the Consumer Advisory Board, from what I've seen.
She really is.
And to make sure that Laura Walker and the people here at WNYC, I'm not saying QXR by for a reason, you know, are aware of it. That's, you don't, they're not, the Toms River Station is not required to have a community advisory board. Mm. But New York Public Radio as a whole, I think, is. And therefore, they've taken on a responsibility of shepherding the four New Jersey stations, and the CAB should be part and parcel of that shepherding process.
Their stations are so small. I asked Brenda if there was going to be anyone from the stations coming. She said there's really only a person on at a time.
Yeah, right.
And they're basically channeling what they get from WNYC.
Yeah.
There's not very much local news, and they don't have staff so that they could send someone over to be a part and parcel of that meeting that we had. So we would have to find another way to reach them because the staff's not the way.
Yeah. If there ever were to be a staff in these stations, which, you know, as long as they're taking so much of their material from other sources, whether it's WNYC with Brian Lehrer, for example, or whether it's NPR, or whether it's WBGO for Jazz Overnight, they're not going to have staff to really develop their own audiences with their own programming. And they have the probability that they'll never generate enough public support to make it worthwhile on its own.
Well, this is where the cooperative seems to really, really be able and potentially fill a huge gap there in their news coverage.
It sounds very good.
And also, you may have missed this, but Jim Schachter said they're going to be hiring two more New Jersey reporters. I think they're looking to somehow integrate more of the coverage.
Yeah.
But yes, isn't it so that Jacqueline Cincotta from here is overseeing, I think, those four stations. I mean, that's what Brenda said to us, that there is somebody here who's kind of eyes on them.
Yeah, and Jacqueline's very good.
Yeah. But, you know, she was not at the meeting. But Jim Schachter was, you know, incredibly, I thought, warm and supportive of what we were trying to do. And
I'm sorry I had to miss that meeting because there was some reasonable reason, whatever it may have been.
I'm sure it was a reasonable
reason. I put that down. John has a reasonable reason. I made a note.
The person,
it was raining, for one thing. It was
well, that may have been
it was a rainy night.
The person who from there, UXR, who attended, who was that?
She actually couldn't come. She had a sick child, Marta.
Oh, I'm sorry.
She's the events person. She's not an on-air person. She's the person that handles.
Yeah. Well, the thing that occurs to me, because I, as many of you may know, I'm a classical musician by inclination, is that they broadcast jazz overnight, but QXR has so much really good stuff in the evenings, you know, with various live concerts and so forth and specialized programs, that maybe one of the ways to help out the issue of coverage, I mean physical coverage of the signal, would be to use QXR in the evenings, in addition to whatever comes from NPR and all the early, you know, morning edition, or all things considered, and Brian Lehrer and Leonard Lopate, etc., to help to resolve, I guess, some coverage issues by QXR in areas where they don't get a lot of coverage and where there's not a lot of alternatives.
Is their signal strong enough?
No.
That's what I think.
Not the QXR signal.
The QXR.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But if you could get it on Toms River or Trenton, especially, you know, more so maybe than Netcom or Sussex, but even Sussex to some extent, that might be a possible direction to go. That's just a comment, and it's based upon nothing but my own personal view.
Mm-hmm. Did you think of any particular way besides, something between now and next year when we might visit? Does anybody have any thoughts about how we can maintain that, maybe through Nancy Solomon, since she will have
the linkage.
She will have an office right in Montclair. They're setting up a brand new studio for her.
Yeah, they're setting up. It sounds like a fabulous facility, doesn't it? I thought, obviously I sent thank you notes to everyone and said how wonderful we were, how appreciative we were and all that right after. But since then, it's been kind of dormant. Debbie Gilland, I'm on her listserv. She has some kind of an email listserv. Mm-hmm. And there are online journalistic training programs and streaming things. And so that's a way for us to know what they're doing. But maybe the CAB could discuss this. I mean, I'm happy to reconnect these people, let's say, after the first of the year and say, we'd like to be in some relationship, but we need to know what we want and what the station, you know, everybody's busy.
Yeah.
Like, what would it be that we would be doing?
Yeah. I mean, the station seems to have good relations with them, too, because I'm also on Debbie's email list now, mm-hmm. and one of the things that she had in one of her emails was a training course, a one-day training course in transportation reporting that was being given by WNYC, and they were publicizing it to journalists around
the country. Was it Bob Henley? It was
a whole bunch of other people.
Yeah.
And so clearly, you know, there's some nice relationships that are percolating already between Nancy and WNYC and various organizations in New Jersey. I guess our question is just, is there anything that we can do to support it or add to it or encourage it? And we'll have to think about that.
Maybe we need to talk to Brenda or to Jacqueline Sincotta. Okay. I mean, I don't think we want to do something that... We want to do something that supports...
Transportation Nation, which is a interesting project on WNYC.
Yeah,
I forgot
yeah.
the name of the woman in charge. I remember her initials, but not her name. She does not cover an awful lot about New Jersey transportation, whether it's bus or train, but there's a lot of it, and a lot of it could be used to provide fodder for the woman whose name I can't remember.
What's her initials, maybe?
A something or other.
Is it Amy?
No, it's not Amy Kandel.
It's not Amy.
But then maybe that's something that would feed into, to the recruitment aspect about whether or not, you know, we would try to get people who would then bring more of their concerns directly to us as a cab. Instead of, I mean, you weren't really thinking about representing the New Jersey stations when you came on. You were here. But, I mean, if we were to reach out specifically to those areas, although attendance is going to be a problem. That's the difficulty.
Yeah.
Well, that's true. That's true.
I mean, technology is such that, quite frankly, it's not that impossible. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not ideal. Because I'm on a board of another organization where we have people who call in to participate in the boards. And it's not ideal, but it's better than nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, some of those New Jersey folks might actually work here in the city, so they could come. Okay. And the ones who live and work or don't work and live in New Jersey could call in, or they could make a day of it. I mean, but it would not be impossible.
No.
I'd also like to suggest that this meeting, and I'm sorry I couldn't make it, sounds like it was actually quite interesting. And also in my experience in setting up groups, you know, the first meeting, you do all this work in this fabulous program and nobody shows up because nobody knows it. And you have to kind of have a regularly, I don't know how many we could really do, but I'm not talking about like monthly, it would probably be way too much. You know, maybe do one or two more so that it's out there, there's a schedule, people understand that we're trying to institutionalize this. And sort of do it. They could be more small scale. We could stream this time. And you might be pleasantly surprised at how something grows, even though the first time you're a little disappointed with it.
Yes. Well, I think we'd have to do better on the location, too. That was awful. Just awful, I thought.
Why did you mean because it was not located?
First of all, the museum is closed, so there's no other traffic to it that night. It's not so easy to find. Mm-hmm. We missed the whole business about being on the campus of Montclair, where all the students were, and the people from the journalism school. And Brenda just felt it wasn't workable, and so she moved over to the museum. But I didn't think it was a good location. And then you came in and you wound around up here and there.
It was a wonderful actual room. The room was great once you got there. it's in this sort of older wing of the museum, and it was very elegant. But
the fact is that Montclair and Newark have no real relevance to people who live in Trenton or.
Well, there's an entertainment. There's a theater complex at Montclair that evidently is used by quite a lot of people.
Yeah.
And they have smaller rooms there, not just the big theater.
But you know, one of the things that's done by both Brian and Leonard, which is, I think, quite good, is that while they are being heard on radio, they're also heard on the streaming of WNYC. And they not infrequently get comments, not telephone comments, but comments on their website from people who may live, you know, Knoxville, Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. That's one way. Streaming is one possibility with a communications link. It's one way to do that without actually physically being present.
I frankly don't know how that's affected. So somebody who's smarter than me about that stuff, how does it work?
Well, it'd be like you're basically broadcasting, but over the internet. So you just...
What kind of a setup do you need to do that?
A microphone.
Yeah, a microphone and someone who knows how to plug it into the internet.
And a video, right?
You don't need it. You can just stream
audio. You can stream audio.
Yeah.
So
we could do that on our Facebook page, for example?
You could see questions being addressed to you as a host.
I mean, they stream through the website here.
Yeah.
So if they have a separate button through their streaming for the, you know, we're doing a live broadcast online of this.
Mm-hmm. One of the questions we didn't ask Brenda is why we couldn't do that. You know, because it wasn't that we didn't suggest it, we suggested it.
Why we couldn't what?
Stream. Because we know, you know, as John is saying, I mean, New Jersey's big and it's, you know, we might, because I thought that they publicized it adequately, much more than usual, than we usually do, and started earlier. But I thought, when I saw how low the attendance was...
Did Brenda respond at all to the question, or did she just...
It seemed like it was too complicated, you know, like it was just...
I mean, you have to choose your space, too, because there are some places that... It would just be really easy. You know, they have the equipment in place. They have the person that works there that knows how to do it or, you know, can show you where the stuff is so you can do it.
There actually were from the museum. They were very solicitous.
Yeah, but there we don't know if they had any of that equipment. I don't know what the equipment is.
They had microphones. It was very basic. It was basic. Yeah. They weren't setting it up, but we didn't ask them.
But if we wanted to do a follow-up to just pursue this, maybe we would choose a location that would come equipped. We would try to stream it, and we could tweet it.
Right,
and see whether we could pick anybody up. I mean, we could even. I would love to see some of the discussions that you all heard.
Mm-hmm.
Just put some tweets out with a hashtag and see what happens. Mm-hmm. See whether you could get somebody to follow them.
Well, certainly Montclair would be a better site for that than the museum, and even within Newark, WBGO would be a better site because they have the broadcasting and streaming capability.
Mm. Yeah, or even doing it at a college. I mean, even there we were at, you know, Rutgers was half a block away. I mean, that would have been a better location. I mean, the weather didn't help, but it was the museum was not a good location, and I think part of the blame is ours for not having networked more with different constituencies that could have. Might have sent people. We could have done more outreach ourselves to get more people coming from different organizations.
In the letter, you know, to each of the participants, I did say, you know, we would love you to send this to your networks, and then Joyce had her flyer, and you know, we tried to, let's say, have each person network with their own community, so to speak. But you're right. I mean. Mm-hmm. It's funny, Rutgers. I think when Brenda said that this was the place because she had negotiated that place.
Well, it was originally to have been Montclair.
Yeah.
And then when she went to look at it, she didn't like the first place they suggested, and so she switched to the museum, and that was that. But when I found out that there were other places within Montclair, she said, "Well, I've already made a commitment to the museum." So I think.
Do you know if we had to pay the museum?
Yeah, $100 wasn't much.
Oh.
Well, maybe it has something to do
with
the
autonomy. Well, we could learn from our experience, I think, what you're saying, Beth.
So,
Eleanor?
I just want to ask what the protocol is here. Are we required to go through Brenda, or do we ask Brenda for help after we run out of our own ideas? Can we make our owner space arrangements if we have...
I don't know.
Time and ability to do it.
And money. You know, there is that, Eleanor. And she said that she had connections at Montclair. So, of course, that made sense. It was wonderful. And then when that didn't pan out, she made arrangements and told me about it.
So these spaces are not given
Well, I don't know. I was not part of the discussion. She told me that she had arrangements with Montclair and didn't bother me about the cost because we wouldn't have to bear it. So whether or not we could have done something pro bono, I don't know. I don't know. But that's a good thought, to be more involved in those kinds of arrangements earlier on, you know, mm-hmm. and just not to expect Brenda to do all the stuff herself.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think so, too. I think that's a good idea. I think to avoid confusion, hurt feelings, duplication of efforts, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think one would need to be very clear with Brenda. Brenda, we want to do this event. Would you like us to research venues and help us pick one?
Yeah.
Or and let her have the opportunity to say, no, you know what, I know people over there, I'll do it, thank you, or yeah, I'm really busy next week, that'd be great, but obviously nobody makes any final commitments without going to the station for anything, about anything.
Mm-hmm. Montclair, I think if we did anything again, in some way, because it's going to be the hub of where
Absolutely.
The action is,
yeah.
it seems, that could be just a natural place. Mm-hmm. It's where everybody is going to be anyway, pretty much.
And it's not, Montclair is not that far from the Garden State Park
no.
where the people who drive, unlike myself, and my dog hasn't learned how. yeah, could be a reasonable hub.
Good to know you're not driving.
I don't know how far the actual university is from the train station.
No, there's one that leads right up to that.
Up to there.
Not the state, the entertainment the thing. There's a big, who knows? Do you know the name of
there?
The theater, the
yeah,
big the theater at Montclair. And there's a light.
Hi,
hello.
Hi,
hello.
Hello.
It's the school it's, theater.
Yes.
Yeah, it's on the campus.
Yeah, but it's like any other major university. It has an entertainment thing, and there the light rail. Stops practically at the parking lot of that building, so that would have been easier too.
Is the waiter trying to say something?
I think she's just introducing herself.
She's saying
yeah. Oh,
are you there?
Maybe we want to wait for you.
I guess I am, but here's so that you don't hear the background noise.
Okay.
I mean, maybe go back to it next year and try to do a year into this. How is it working, and how can it be better? Kind of thing. Because I think if we go back at it anytime too soon, there won't be very much new to say. But a year from now, they had a year to work on things, it might be a good time to say, okay, what's been good, what's been bad, how can we improve upon this, who have we served, who do we still need to serve, and there'll be some perspective and some results that we can analyze, and maybe be helpful that way.
Yeah, I thought that too. But maybe in the interim we get some people on the board when we're recruiting again who would have interest in that.
I think if we're going to do something a year from now, you need at least a six-month period after the meeting and before then to sort of get some feedback and get some interest and maybe have enough time to prepare. You know?
Yeah. Well, I think it sounded like things were just starting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, interviews. Mm-hmm.
Joyce, I would have to add one thing to that, because you know, one of the submerged themes here is something that's come up in all the years that I've been here, which is now the beginning of the third, of to what extent we're independent and to what extent we're dependent, to what extent we simply serve the purpose or we independently bring something. And this seems like another version of it. And I think that's worth discussion itself. So I'm not going to state my view on it now, because I think that's just an item that should go on. So let me say that topic for next interface meeting seems to be given not very much time here. And I think a discussion about not only what would be a good topic, but what would be the logistics of it, you know, how we would really go about doing everything ourselves if we could, and then what we should ask for help on, should be part of that discussion. So if we could leave a little bit more time on the agenda for it than I see down here, it would be great tonight.
Yeah.
This is our night to get there, right?
Right. And the other thing is, it just occurred to me, that we're having a station presentation in January,
right,
which should have been occurring tonight. And it had to be rescheduled because Noreen had to go to a PTA meeting. So we're...
She's a parent, too.
Yeah. So we're having that discussion in January, and I think some of these issues are a good thing to bring up as well. Because, for one thing, I don't know, for example, to what extent our own station does this cooperative nature in terms of, or whether they just feel that they have the resources and the ability to go out there on their own. Is WNYC doing any of this type of sharing with other news media and making an actual cooperative of it to the extent that New Jersey is trying to start to do
but
using
it? You're part of it, don't you?
I don't know. I don't know who else this station might be actually partnering with or getting direct input from others, which is what I understood them trying to do in New Jersey.
That
each of the affiliates would be feeding into the cooperative, and then the cooperative would be feeding out. And I don't know if we have that here, or I don't know to what extent WNYC mirrors any of that, or even, you know, attempts to. So I think that's something to bring up in January. Are we doing the same thing, or are we going in on our own because we have enough staff and reporters and we're just doing it? But are we attempting to partner with other people? I don't know. But I think it would be interesting to know that. So, we're going a little bit far here on this one thing. Let's move the recruitment, the CAPS representation of New Jersey affiliates to Judith's discussion about the recruitment. Although I'm not sure how much you have to say tonight. But if you don't mind, we had a long time discussing the New Jersey. We know we want to follow up. We know we're looking at a year. But we don't know what we're going to do or what we can do in between. So kind of let's leave that as it is for now. And then go on to recruiting, to which, again, I think, Eleanor, your point is very, very, very germane in terms of recruitment.
We've done so far, we're a little bit storm challenged, unfortunately, and Brenda challenged. But we did have a meeting, and I also want to thank Gwen and Eleanor, who are also on our recruitment committee, and we did sort of tee up, I think, three major issues, two of which are sort of somewhat easy, the third of which requires a lot more discussion. We realized as we thought about what we wanted to do was to, first of all, how many people should be on the CAB. That's obviously not our decision, but there was a general consensus among the group that if we increase the number of members, more many hands make the work light, and that would be helpful to have more people.
You mean beyond the 25? We're getting up to
the 25. Getting up to 25 was our thought.
18.
To be at full strength. Maybe another 7 people would be great. Then we thought about who we wanted on which we'll table for a second, because that turns out, I think, to be the hardest. And the last thing we thought about is how we're going to get them. We started brainstorming a little bit. We wanted to do something more robust than just have, you know, the announcement on air, although I think that's how many of us, including myself, ended up sitting
all of us.
There might be a way to juice up the announcement. We might want to do something on the website. We might want to coordinate with the station at other kinds of events. And then the last thing, which we really think we need to discuss with Brenda, although we haven't been able to get a hold of her. We're supposed to have a call Friday, but there were some technical difficulties of some sort of the conference call, so we will keep trying. And Steve, do you want to take over and talk about some of the things we're thinking about,
Sure.
things we want to know from Brenda?
Well, first I was going to say we talked about a number of ways to publicize the CAB outside of just having the radio station announce us. Mm-hmm. And an obvious one is using social media, which we haven't been doing. Using the website more, putting out announcements through cultural organizations or educational groups. We could send flyers to universities. I mean, CAB has not had very many younger people. And also the station has other activities besides just broadcasting. And that's one thing we want to ask Brenda. When they, because Brenda has her other boards, I believe, community boards that she talks to. And we want
yeah, that's not very clear about what they are and how they we should interface with them, right?
Wait, aren't they? I can't remember.
But these are ways that we can spread what the CAB is and just announce the CAB to groups that might not normally know about us. Mm-hmm. So that was one of the reasons. So when we were going to talk to Brenda, one of the questions we wanted to ask her is, does she have ways that just to help us recruit? Because we don't, they aren't clear to us, but she knows what they are.
And we're also going to ask her.
And then the other thing I was going to mention is also how our recruitment can help her, what the station is looking for from the CAB, so that we can, before we work too hard on changing anything about recruitment, find out what the station wants. So those were some of the questions we had.
Well, some of us who have been were a beneficiary of a presentation by Brenda some time ago before you came on. She has this sort of ambassador program that goes out, I guess, to different communities, and I mean even geographical communities, but probably also interest communities. I thought we were going to, we didn't get to ask her anything, so this is all still theoretical. Mm-hmm. Are you there, Luann?
Yes, I am. I just have you on mute so that you don't hear the car background.
I don't know whether you can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, okay. So I thought we were going to ask her again, exactly how that program works so that we don't simply duplicate the way in which she's working. I really didn't think that we were going to ask her to help us recruit. Because that's part of the same.
I thought the point is we were trying to get a sense of who station feels is its community and is reaching out to.
So if she's reaching out to community X, Y, and Z, and they're working with her, do we also need community X, Y, and Z on the CAB? Or do we look for communities, you know, A, B, and C, which your communities are not constructed as? Let's say she's reaching out to Gravesend and Brooklyn Heights and so forth and so on. Should we be reaching out to, let's say, a community of businessmen, women, constructed in a completely different way? So I'd like to totally understand who she's got, not so that we can necessarily get her help, but so that we can be clear on how we can supplement.
Right, well, I think first we have to find out who she is reaching out to.
We do, and we do. And let's,
with that knowledge, then we
hopefully
can.
Hopefully we will.
With that knowledge, then we can forward.
Right, I was someone raised last time, it's an interesting question. A station's obviously putting a lot of money into its online presence, what becomes the community? The original point of the CAB was to help the community make sure that the station is programming, serving the needs of the community, whatever that is at this point in time.
All pre-internet.
So, right.
Yeah. But someone still needs to ask the questions and gather the answers and then pass them on. So is that what the CAB is now? Like, are we just here to ask the questions?
What do you mean, ask the questions?
Well, I mean, if you go to the website, yeah, that is a way to for the community to directly interface with the radio station. But, you know, how often if you write an email to, you know, memberservices@wnyc.org, does anything come of it? You know, it's like, I think that the CAB should be kind of collecting and culling and finding themes, you know, that sort of thing. So, you know, someone who's, you know, if you have 25 people that are kind of looking at this massive communications, then no one on staff has to deal with it, and, you know, we all have our own backgrounds and.
But don't they have listener services? I mean, there's somebody who does do that, I think.
I
don't know that they do
well,
it the same
thing.
Way.
I mean,
we
we're not, like, addressing if one person has an issue with how they've changed, you know,
no,
the music
right,
programming on the weekends. Like, we're more like, I think we should be looking for broader themes and, you know, and what there's a lack of. as opposed to like detailing, you know, little
right. Items. No, not the nitty gritty like that.
I think that I think that is a big question that has to be addressed first, rather before you go after whom should we get, because the question is whom should we get for what. And I go to the Philharmonic. The Philharmonic has now put in morning programs, afternoon programs for all the Alta Kaka, and it's wonderful, but they're missing a younger audience. And radio and WNYC has its set programs in its set ways, and how much of the upcoming generation are they going to hold on to? If any of you have gone to the Board of Trustees meetings, only Toledo, and the radio is serving that group very, very well. But is it going to kill itself off? Because will it continue to be relevant to people 30 and 40 years old coming up? Are they going to say radio or WNYC is my radio station? I think that's one of the issues that has to be addressed first. What, you know, and sort of gets to who the communities are and what are their concerns, and if we're not even talking to those communities to begin with, we hardly know their concerns. So I think part of the role of the CAB would be also to help identify, you know, is the radio vibrant to different communities than it's currently serving? But for its own survival, it needs to be. It needs to be more vibrant to other communities.
Wouldn't we have to know more about who it's currently serving?
They have that information.
Yeah,
sure.
But do we?
Well, if we're
going to ask the question about it, yeah. We would have to get that.
There was a great article in today's Times about, did you see it? About how radio was one of the most important media during the storm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that everybody kind of listened to the radio as the one source. I think that was really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That's logical.
Yeah.
Well, it's true. I mean, you can run a radio with batteries. You can't really run a television with batteries. I suppose you can run your laptop with batteries and pull it dies down to your little iPhone.
Yeah, but it seems
but if
like
your internet's out. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. But and the other thing is, when we did this study, as the CAB did a study of the other public radio stations, this is just for the new people, we looked at different models. And one of the models was representatives of communities, sort of Eleanor was alluding, you know, like student journalists, or I don't know, you name it, whatever. We would want, or business people in the community, or I forget, was it BEC? Was it Boston? Where was that? In any case, there was
BGH. I think it was BGH.
Yeah, it was, or BGH.
Boston
or Chicago, or one of those places. But it was an entirely different model than we have, which is just finding interesting people who are interested, as opposed to saying we'd like to represent this community, that community, that community, not geographically, but professionally, or a lot of different ways to cut it.
And a lot of it's of those other stations was by invitation rather than by solicitation.
Yes, right.
We haven't, among ourselves, thoroughly discussed this to the bottom of exhaustion yet. So maybe after the meeting we should talk about our next meeting.
Our hope was to talk to Brenda and see from Brenda what she thought the main things of recruitment would be, and then we could what she thought some of the main ideas for recruitment would be, and then Brenda could give us some information. Is that the ones?
I'm really sorry to publicly disagree with you, but I really have to, because of this long tradition of CAB wanting to be independent from the station in order to have some, to be more helpful to the station.
Sure.
So I don't think we solicit the station's ideas on who we should recruit.
No, but to find out what the station needs and thinks. Information gathering.
I'm hearing an independence issue that I just want to highlight.
Okay.
I tend to agree with Eleanor on that issue, by the way. We don't look to the station to tell us what they think they need, but we want to know. But on the other hand, we want to advise the station as to what we think, based upon our contacts and our viewpoints, the station needs to know.
I think it's a little bit of both that way. And I guess Eleanor feels that we're hearing too much about let Brenda tell us what we should be doing and then go ahead and do it.
Yeah, I didn't mean to say
that.
No, I think we want to know what Brenda is doing.
I really meant just more information gathering.
Right, we want to know what they're doing. Does the station have, unbeknownst to us, as part of its 5-year strategic plan, they really want to build a younger audience, a more diverse, whatever kind of audience, in which case, then we should be aware of that as we go to recruit folks.
Well, I agree with that.
I'm wondering whether it wouldn't be Sarah, right?
Yes.
Whether it wouldn't be great to have Sarah in on, if you would have time, whenever we get this meeting with Brenda, because you've already made a number of suggestions for possible recruitment through media. And
right. No, I'm happy to. I've done a lot of audience development work, too, so I have some kind of different...
Oh, wow.
I've researched it. So I can compile a couple of studies and can tell you which paragraphs of them to read. I've done that work for you.
One of the things I've noticed is that when, for example, we had a meeting with Graham Parker a year or so ago, he announced that there were going to be changes made in January, which he wasn't at liberty to tell us about. And there's no reason for that. I mean, we all, in effect, are members of the CAB in order to learn about the station. And implicit, if not explicit, is the idea that it's non-disclosure agreements, that we know about stuff that they're thinking about before they actually go ahead and do it. And one of the things they need from us is to get our reaction to what they're thinking about. The fact is that what Graham was talking about a year ago or so has been a wonderful series of live concerts from Carnegie Hall, etc., which I'm sure we've all been very enthusiastic about. I certainly am. But we didn't know about it before they did it, and there's no reason for us not to know ahead of time what they have in mind.
Maybe Alec Baldwin is going to become the new head of WMYC. They're giving him all of Thanksgiving Day.
I don't know. I think he's shooting for Leonard's job.
Yeah.
From his job? For Leonard Lopez.
For Leonard's job.
Yeah. It's the same kind of content.
No. Yeah. Getting him for the cab. We were talking about
Alec is everywhere.
Everywhere.
Which is a weakness.
Yeah.
So you want to go forward then with Brenda and find out what she is doing anyway, and come back to us.
Yeah.
I mean, this is early. We weren't even on the agenda till later on, I think the February meeting for the first one.
I think that's right.
And so I just thought I'd give you, since you were moving forward and I was getting these emails and you hoped that you would be talking to Brenda, they're giving us a chance to hear a little bit beforehand. So don't feel rushed now. This is fine. Go ahead. I do want to get on to Sarah's presentation also on social media. And I'm sorry that Matt wasn't here because you and Matt are kind of working on the Facebook page, right?
Well, I haven't started anything on Facebook. I need to become an administrator, so I'm not sure who is right now and who can be.
No, I'm not sure either, and it's not going to be. Eric, do you put the, or does Kim put the minutes on the Facebook? On the CAP page?
I'm not so sure about that. I can find out for you.
If you would, yeah.
Sure.
Because I don't think we have October's minutes on the CAB page. And then we will have these when Shimon gets it.
So, if anyone wants to move closer to the screen or get out their glasses, I know it's a big, long room.
Yeah.
And I'll try to do this where it isn't just about the visuals, too.
Okay.
So.
I could make it brighter.
All right.
You can make it bigger. You can
brighter.
Can everyone see? Okay, that can see.
No.
Yeah. All right. I'll make sure to read the slides so you get the content. All right. So I'm going to speak a little bit about effective social media practices.
I don't think that helps.
I think that's
right.
Yeah.
I think we need the screen to be as bright as possible. All right.
Thank you.
I'm going to focus on Facebook tonight just to keep things streamlined. So first, this is a woman you should know about. Her name is Beth Cantor. And she has this book out called The Network to Nonprofits, which they have it on Amazon. It's like $20. If you're interested in this, it's a really great book. It's an easy read. She has lots of examples. If you go on YouTube and look her up in conjunction with Network Nonprofit, she speaks on panels all the time. So there's lots of people's things that they've posted, but it's 50 minutes of this exact subject.
Okay.
So she's a good link just to... So to that, I have a little like 2-minute clip of her video. I hope this loads immediately.
So first of all, I want to step back and say, why keep your organization become a network nonprofit? Why is that important? Well, in the U.S., and I just found out that it's the same here in Canada, over the last 20 years, we've had an explosion in the growth of numbers of nonprofits. We've also had a lot of investment in single organizations to become bigger and more complex. Yet, at the same time, we haven't pushed the needle on solving really complex social problems. So, as we looked around while we're writing the book, we want to know, why is that? And the reason is because these problems have really outpaced the capacity of any single nonprofit to solve it. And that's why the central thesis of our book is that nonprofits need to work less as single entities and more as networks. Okay, so let's take that down around just a minute further and see what that looks like.
Thing about networking.
So, in a network world, nonprofits need to work less like this. Okay, so what is that? That's the staff working in silos, behind the firewall, hiding behind the institutional logo, working in isolation to solve a problem. Okay? And the change that needs to happen is to look more like this. This is a network nonprofit. You know, staff are working in matrix teams, there's work collaboration between departments, collaboration between smaller teams. The institution becomes more transparent, a little bit more porous, the firewall starts to move, they even disappear, and the insiders get out and the outsiders get in. Now, the outsiders are networks of individuals and institutions that are collaborating with the organization to solve a complex problem, social problem, together. So that's the change that needs to happen. And you know, going from that to this, what worked, isn't always an easy transition for all nonprofit organizations.
All right. So I think we can all relate to that sentiment. And what's great about this whole thing is that social media offers a lot of great tools for this. So what she says is, you know, nonprofits need to work like less like isolated institutions and more like networks. Right. So the idea of social networking, it's a forum essentially for making your network. So, and the whole idea, you know, it's social, it's back and forth. So it's a forum for creating a dialogue. And there are some really good reasons to do this, like especially with Facebook. There's an existing platform. There's no cost to it, although that's changing a little bit, but shouldn't affect a nonprofit. And you can communicate with people, and you can get feedback in essentially real time, or you know, in 24 hours, you can have a huge discussion that takes several forms. The other side of this is that the feedback is public. If someone posts on your Facebook page something negative, it's up there for everyone to see, and you need to be ready to deal with that. And you can't control what they post. So, you know, that can be terrifying for some groups. So we kind of need to get over that and accept the fact that there is going to be good and bad.
But you can't control what they post on someone else's site.
Well, I mean, you could delete something that's completely, you know, irrelevant and hurtful. But, you know, if they have a point, you know, if someone's going to see it before you can get to it, probably. So if you take it down after someone else has seen it, someone's going to be like, hey, what happened to that comment? Why aren't you addressing that? You know, so it's best to... Yeah. All right. So on Facebook specifically, there, I think, are four major things that we need to look at when you're using Facebook.
Good time. One quickly. You yes. sent the this to
everyone has the slides now. Thank you. Much to your email.
Oh.
So these are the four things that I think are most important when you're using Facebook. You need, whenever you post anything on Facebook, and we'll look at a couple of posts in a minute, you need to make sure that it's on topic with what you're trying to do, which is interesting for us because we need to establish what it is we're doing. But always post it in a way that invites sharing and interaction. So someone reads it, you know, ask a question along with your post or something like that. Like, start a discussion. Remember, it's social. You know, you want an interaction. You don't just want it to be a one-sided communication. It's not a press release. It's not, you know, an article. It's an interaction. And I think it's important to make it personal. Like, it's much easier for people to relate to people than to institutions and logos. And finally, maintain a consistent presence. You know, some places I think post too much. They'll post several times a day and you just get fatigue. But if someone notices that you're posting consistently, however many times a week, a month, whatever, they'll know that you're active and it's worth their time to, say, leave a message on your page, because they'll see you, they'll get back to you. All right. So connecting back to your mission. I'm going to go. Purpose of an organizational Facebook page is to connect people to your organization's mission. This goes for nonprofits, it goes for, you know, private companies. But it's also good to contextualize your company or your group in the world. So here's, I think, a very good example. Yes. This is Charity Water. I was hoping that wouldn't happen every time. So I want to scroll down a little. So what they do is they drill wells and find water sources for people in developing countries. That's their mission. So on their Facebook page, you can see a couple days ago, they have, you know, people that are looking at their quality campaign. They're kind of posting, oh, look, we already have, what, you know, 10 people have done this. We're trying, oh, no, here we go. You know, trying to fund 100 wells. We've found the money for 10. Let's keep going. Here is a video that they made. They've posted it to their Facebook page. And there's something, it was during the hurricane, which has been really interesting. So there's a picture of someone. Right, okay, but during the hurricane, they figured out a way to relate the hurricane to what they do, because they're like, look, here in New York City are people, you know, getting water. And this is something that we do. So they've related the news back to themselves. So there's a good way of keeping your content, you know, relate it to what you're doing, but find a way to contextualize yourself in the world. And, you know, stick with your mission. All right. So invite sharing and interaction. You want to, you know, present your relevant content. Try to ask a discussion question that elicits, you know, more than yes or no answers. You want people's feedback. You want them to move the conversation forward. And follow up. If someone has something that's, you know, good or bad, no matter what it is, you know, follow up, and it's always best if you can turn there. You know, like Brian Lehrer does that, where, like, some crazy person will call in, and he'll find a way to twist it back into something that's useful for the discussion, and we have the advantage of not having to do that on live air. We can take a few minutes and think of the right way to approach it. So, and actually, AARP does this really well.
Who monitored, or maybe we'll wait till the end, like who's answering the questions?
It's all of us. Really, I think it's best if there are several people that do this, so it is an actual person and people see a name and it's not just
the organization. So one of us is like hosting this.
Right, and I really think it's best if we all monitor it. Because someone will get Facebook fatigue if they have to deal with everything, and if it's kind of the same voice all the time, mm-hmm. you know, it doesn't feel like it's a whole organization. Okay. So they have these clever... So you see, they post a lot of links to their blog and stuff that they do.
But this site is linking into content that they're producing in another place.
Right.
So in that respect, they're very different.
I mean, that's one. Yeah, that's one thing that they do, but they do other stuff. So here's an example, right over here. You know, where they're asking a question to engage more socialization. You know, do you share your best recipes? And you can see they have comments. You know, people have liked it. People have shared it. You know, and it is, and this is how they're utilizing it. They're relating to other stuff they're working on. You know, and it's one of their platforms. But you can see that they're pretty good about, of course, nothing they've posted like today. Yeah, here's another one. Do you plan to support Small Business Saturday? So a lot of their posts, they, you know, ask a question. And, you know, then that's a great one, because Small Business Saturday is going to start a discussion. So that's just an example of ways they're asking questions when they post anything. So it's not just about, here's a link.
It makes them connected to the organization, too, because they feel like they're interested in their opinion.
Right, exactly. And yeah, there was something
respond and not just read. It's,
right.
It's not passive.
Exactly, and that's the interaction. That's the social side of it. Mm-hmm. All right. Oh, that's right. Something, if you're looking at these later, if you want the links to work, it has to be in slideshow mode, just to save you that confusion and frustration.
Can you switch it?
Yeah. Another. There it goes.
Okay.
Every time. So here's Land's End, which, you know, it's a for-profit organization. And, you know, here they are, they're advertising their stuff. Hey, the e-catalog's available. There's a link for it. I thought this was sweet. They, you know, they've announced who won the contest, and they even said a little thing about, like, this woman and her husband, George. So they personalized it a little, you know, without, like, you know, still maintaining enough of their privacy. You know, there's the bathing suits that are coming out. You know, anything that's happening, really. There's a promotion, probably just for Facebook people, 40% off one item. You know, it can be all kinds of stuff. Here's, like, you know, Black Friday coming up. Here's some of their stuff. But then they do this, too. So here's some of their warehouse staff for some volunteers. And they, Land's End, of course, has donated a lot of coats and that sort of thing to hurricane efforts. You know, so here they are personalizing it. They're pictures of people working on hurricane stuff. And they do this a lot. Like, there's there was a picture a couple months ago where the woman who worked at their reception retired. And so they had a picture of her sitting at the desk, and they're like, thanks for, you know, 34 years of, you know, so they personalize it like that. And, it, you know, this is a company that sells, you know, practical clothes at, you know, good prices. And, you know, that they connected you to them as people. And I think that's a great way to, for an organization, just another outlet for that. And it's social. Yeah. And a woman from Toms River wrote in to say that her Land's End coats just kept her warm during the... So I thought that was very sweet. So they shared the whole... We don't need to read it all, but she wrote this letter and they put it on their Facebook page.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's pretty great. And then you can see the response. Like, 583 people liked it. 18 people shared the story, and 61 people commented on it. You know, and this is a for-profit clothing company, and you can see the community they've created around, you know, the commuter coat. All right. Hey.
And what was the one you just passed? You only have followers if you...
Here, okay. So to all those points, like, you need to be consistent. You need to post frequently and consistently, just so people can see a pattern where it's like, oh, it seems like Tuesdays and Thursdays are their day. You know, you want to see that it's active, so it's worth your time. Yeah, and take your cues. Like, don't, you know, if we post a question and that leads to another question that someone else asks, like, we can take a question and turn it into something. You know, that's really cool if you're like, so-and-so asked this, and we'd like to know, everybody. So definitely take those cues.
Sarah, I don't know much about Facebook, but mm-hmm. are there places where it's obvious that if people want to make a response, they can do it?
Yes. The layouts vary. With every post, there's a little box where you can click.
Okay.
And you can type it there. And we can go over the details of that. But, I mean, but here's us. So our last thing posted was October 26th. Mm-hmm. And... you know, so I just kind of like to look at some of our posts and we can kind of think of some ways to maybe make them a little more dynamic and just get everyone thinking along those lines.
So instead of just saying interesting initiative by the Knight Foundation, it might have said who is working with your station or
right. And I think just as a general rule of thumb, I think it's great to post articles that, you know, would generate a discussion on a topic that's, you know, up our alley. I find it really good if you do a like one sentence summary of it. Here's, you know, not just interesting initiative, but here's an initiative where this is happening, and then ask a question relating to the content. You know, try to start a discussion with it.
So somebody just so that somebody would click on it.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And also, if someone, just as a technical note with Facebook, you can like a page. And once you like it, it shows up in your stream of stuff. So in the same way that your friends and what they post will show up in a stream of things, and organizations' posts will show up too. So that's why when you're scrolling through all your friends' kids' pictures and, you know, people asking you for money when they're running a race or whatever, you know, you'll see that, oh, so-and-so's posted this article. Oh, like you need like a little teaser to get someone to click on it, and that starts the discussion. So it just needs to be... you know, you need to engage your reader. So I think this recent post by others, like, people have been trying to talk to us.
What are they saying? It's hard to
say. Oh, sorry. I'm trying to make them bigger.
You can...
Okay, here we go. So here's a guy, he's saying, I'm hoping to enlist the community advisory board's help in creating partnerships with local youth orchestras. I'm involved with the Bergen, New Jersey Youth Orchestra, where my son plays violin. These orchestras provide a tremendous opportunity for young musicians. Performance quality is top-notch. I have several ideas about ways that WQXR could work not just with the Bergen Youth Orchestra, but with many of the youth orchestras in the area.
Mm.
So that's someone's, like... nice. Reached out to us, you know,
but
and
we haven't
gotten back to him, right? So I think that more people will reach out if they see that we're responding. You know, even if it's just like, that's so interesting, we'll pass it on, or have you thought about this? Or, I mean, we need to decide what, you know, is that something we do? Do we deal with youth orchestras in Bergen?
Really. But the woman who does events at WQXR, who didn't come, you know,
right.
could be the person to pass it on to. Or,
right. And I think
don't they have their own page, QXR?
Yeah. Probably. Yeah. I mean, but we could just respond to be like, you should reach out to this person.
Yes, we should.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, nothing anyone posts on this page should go off into a black hole. You know what I'm arguing.
One of us could post back, hey, I'm a member, thank you so much. We're having a meeting next month.
Right.
We don't have to make a commitment.
But, I mean, we have to decide who has the right to speak for the CAP.
But Matt is taking that on. Matt was
I think
Facebook
it's anybody.
Person.
I mean, it's a
anybody
whole board.
Anybody can post as themselves.
Really
right, anybody can pay themselves.
And only the administrator can post as the CAP, so it's already... I mean, whoever has that right, which Sarah said she didn't know who it was.
Okay, yeah.
Matt has. He's the administrator, right? Yeah.
But, I mean, you as a member of the CAB, I think if you see this, you can just be like, hey, I'm on the CAB. Thank you for reaching out. I suggest this, or we'll look at
it. If I were to say I don't believe in youth orchestras, I think music is a waste of time, you could think of it, right?
No, he's on there. Or he's on there.
Right.
You could say that, but it's and it might get some interesting discussion.
Yeah.
Even if I don't believe it.
Yeah, that's right.
I think on the internet that's called trolling.
Yeah, that's right.
When you're inciting riot. You know, but I think it's important that when people are reaching out, whether it's our jurisdiction or not, just to have some response. And, you know, if this is, you know, send an email to the person you think it might be. Like, hey, is this you?
Send what?
I mean, like, I personally, I don't necessarily know immediately what to tell this guy.
Right.
But QXR has a sort of an interest in advancing music education, music activities, and so it could be passed on to QXR
right.
via the CAD.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See,
no,
people are writing thinking that we are the station.
Right.
And that's, I think, one of the problems.
So. I mean, it's clearly addressing the community advisory board.
Some are, some aren't. Some of these are just raves about the changes in programming that we have zero
sure.
control.
Well, yeah, they're,
but
yeah.
They don't know that.
They misunderstand
what our role is.
What our role is and our relationship to, say, member services or the station's website itself or comments. So they're.
Well, to the extent they're talking about the programming, I guess that's.
Yeah.
Don't we be a webmaster? Mistress?
Madison.
I'm sure her event is over on November 10th and it's.
Oh, sorry.
And there's somebody crying over radio lab
below them.
Right.
Right. And then somebody sends us something, oh, there's one day left. Like, that's a good idea.
Yeah, I mean, some people are just trying to advertise their events.
I like Mimi Michelle. Let's ask her to join the cast.
I can't read it. What is she
saying? What are you guys looking at?
She's sorry. Slamming Jonathan Schwartz yeah. for his narcolepsy.
I've just about had it. Swaths of my weekend have been ruined.
And what do you say to someone like that, other than, you know, really, you know, empathetic, but we have no control of the programming, and please
one
make sure you,
likes it.
You know,
yeah.
Write
I
decision.
Like it.
I like his music. I don't like his commentary.
Yeah, but his music is great.
I don't think you have to respond to every single post. Just like when I'm. You know, I'm on Facebook with a couple of companies that I like their products, and mostly it's just the people who like this and are interested in the same thing start talking back and forth with each other, and very rarely will the actual company or a representative from the company then respond to something and say something. But usually it's just like they'll post something and generate conversation, and they'll just let people take off the conversation. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe with the youth, though, youth orchestra thing, wanted to come back. But I think the other one's just like.
Venting.
Or like, thank you for
it's
sure.
Just, yeah. It's just people, I mean.
No, yeah, I.
It's just. It's in a community, talking. It's not. Not all of them are looking for.
Yeah, some of them are a little. More like,
Facebook,
thank you for sharing.
Does our Facebook page say when you come onto it? What it's for.
I, you know, let me look.
And what we welcome on it.
It's up at the top.
Some of these are just
like. There's like an about section. Okay, so we do have some text.
People are talking to each other.
Yeah.
I'm interested in this, I'm interested in that. I like the new program, I don't like it, it's fine.
Look how out of date it is. It has the wrong chair and such.
Right. So we need to just. I mean, maybe we don't need to reply to every person, but it, you know, we should be posting more frequently, because if you look, we have 76 likes. You know, that one article on the Land's End site got 600 people to like it. That means 600 people saw it and felt it good enough to click like to.
But they have almost a million
right.
people.
I mean, but how many listeners do we have that are on Facebook?
But they're not our listeners.
Yeah. They're friending the station or they're friending Brian Lair's page.
Right.
Well, that's the liking thing. Brian
Lair's page. The station has all these personalities.
Right.
It doesn't have one personality. It mm-hmm. has,
yeah.
you know, this
so
enormous
guess,
list of people.
And they all have their own Twitter accounts yeah. and they all have their
well,
own.
Well, do the hosts sort of ever, you know, tell people to look on Facebook. Or
yeah, sure. No, and like Brian Lehrer will, he'll generate discussion. Like there will be a segment he's doing tomorrow, and he'll put a thing like, you know, what do you think about parking restrictions on your blog?
They do it on QXR, maybe.
Maybe.
QXR, they have blogs, anyway.
Yeah, they have all sorts of stuff on the website, but I don't remember the host ever.
I mean, I don't
well,
know
yeah,
that
the host about their streaming. Yeah,
the host
I'm talking about Facebook.
Well, maybe not Facebook, but they all have their blogs.
Yeah, no, the other stuff.
Yeah.
Accomplish similar
but
things.
Brian Lehrer will have, he'll post a discussion question so that if you can't, like, you know, comment on the website or call in, sometimes they'll even read comments off of Facebook.
Right.
So it's just, it's something that, you know, it's an easy free tool. And we should be using it.
Would you
it.
Read what we said? Because I can't really read this from here. What does it say our mission is to explain what we do?
The role of WNYC Community Advisory Board is to advise the WNYC Radio Board of Trustees with respect to whether the programming and other policies of the station are meeting the specialized educational and cultural needs of the communities it serves, and to make such recommendations as it considers appropriate to meet these needs.
Hmm.
Right, but I think it needs something like on this Facebook page.
No,
please let us know this. We'll try to get back to you. You know, let's.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. It's like this
the
is
page
what
is for what we welcome.
Right, and I guess
user friendly.
Could we address different communities on the page? Like
well,
say,
anyone who
hey out there.
Well, no, I think
whoever the community is that we want to say hello to. Right.
No, we can do whatever we want. We can, you know, I could post a thing when I get home that's, you know, it's a question that I've been wondering is, you know, which WNYC show do you feel speaks to you the most?
Uh-huh.
You know, and why? You know, what, you know, someone
well,
in my demo.
What a great idea. We can have a question of the month or something.
Right, or,
yeah.
or the week or something, or if we want to rotate or have, you know, a little, discuss, like, if everyone comes up with one question, we're set for the year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
nice
and,
fun.
And that said, that anyone who's on Facebook, ask your friends to like this page so it shows up in their stream. You know, and then Facebook sometimes says that so-and-so commented on this thing. And, like, we need to have more than 76 people liking the page. So it needs to be active so that it's worth
uh-huh.
paying attention to.
Do you want to start by doing
sure.
that?
I will do that first one. I'll ask that question.
What's your favorite program?
Right, and if everyone can like the page, and if a couple people can make it look like the discussion's happening, you know, just to get the ball rolling.
Staging.
Just to, you know, we want to set the model.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a page for the campus conversation
with itself.
Yeah.
I'll like the page right now. Well, 77 by the time we
which is, yeah, I thought I'd like to.
Yeah. From their phones.
Yeah. Everyone gets their phones.
Yeah.
Facebooking each other.
Though they were in the same room.
I just texted you, Renee.
Oh, God.
That's very helpful. That's good.
So
I have to. I have
eight,
to.
It's 25:09.
Yeah.
All right.
I have to also see if. I mean, Matt was supposed to be kind of keeping this up, but I
right.
think he's also taken. I think he's president of his school or something.
Right.
Or something.
No, I just. I'm done with grad school, so I can
okay.
take on managing the Facebook page.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah. That'd be great.
So I'm happy to
thank you
that.
For this. It's
thank
very
you.
Helpful.
You're welcome. And everyone
stimulating
slides.
Our heads.
Great. The links.
I want to do something quickly. I have well, let's go in order then, since we already put this on. I did send around some corrections about the calendar. I don't know if you have it there before you. Obviously, tonight we were supposed to be in the green space and we got moved. December, there's never a meeting. January the 14th, we are going to be in the green space as of now.
It's January 14th.
14th, sorry,
okay,
yes.
It said January 4th.
I know, and I was supposed to have been corrected before,
okay.
and I saw that the calendar still said January
14th.
The meeting here?
No, green room.
That's
and that's a station presentation. So while we're being presented to some of these other questions that have come up tonight, I think it's a good time to ask as well to get a better sense of where we both fit in together.
And is that, that's open? That's an open meeting?
Oh, yeah.
So it's the kind of thing we could post on the Facebook page.
Oh, yeah.
That January 14th meeting at the Green Space, you know, you can come and offer your feedback in person.
And one of the things that's a consistent bugaboo of mine is the announcements. The announcement for that meeting we had in Newark, I submitted totally different wording in time, but it was just rejected, and we're having a meeting, please come and share your thoughts. And it took 3 or 4 emails to get one line inserted that said, we're meeting with other representatives of New Jersey news media. Mm. I mean, that was 3 or 4 emails back and forth to get that one little insertion in there. The announcements are dull, boring. They don't even say what the topic is going to be. And when we had the one on religion and politics, they didn't announce it at all because it was considered a hot-button issue, so it was not announced, which was not so bad.
What is the actual topic in January?
It's a presentation by the station.
About?
I'm going to find out. Oh. We don't know. We don't know.
Because we can't.
So, so that's January, and that's the station presentation. And then Monday, February 11th, still tentatively the Green Space, and that's where the recruitment committee would have its first really formal report. Not final, but first formal. And then the 18th, we're at here. The
March
conference room again, March 18th. That we don't have the Green Space again, although originally we were supposed to. And then April, to be announced where we are, April 15th. May 20th, the nominating process begins for offices within. And then June 17th, the elections. And again, for the last 3 meetings, we don't know where they're going to be.
So then we're planning that the next interface meeting will not be one of these dates, or would be one of these dates?
Could be. But we were going to discuss tonight what that might be. Or we can wait and see after our meeting with the station as to how, if something gels from that.
Excuse me one second. Luann emailed us, 20 minutes ago that she has tried to call back in and couldn't.
Oh, yeah. That's all right. We thought she clicked off, and so Erica said, should I close the conference? And we said yes. Okay. I said yes. I thought she was finished.
Sorry, I was just turning off where the music had started.
I would really like us to be able to present 2 or 3 topics to the station that we ourselves are interested in, and that we ourselves might be capable of producing, and to have a really searching discussion about what we can do and what's the smartest idea we can come up with. We have 15 minutes now, and I would much rather have us come with something in hand if we go to a meeting with the station than to say, what would you like us to do?
No, they brought up, if you remember, they were eager for us to do the New Jersey meet.
Why I'm suggesting that we try to bring some creativity to them just to see if it works. Mm-hmm. They could easily say, no, we don't want to do any of that, but we would like to do something else.
So I was thinking of an idea, and I think, Eleanor, you had actually brought this up at some point. But
I did.
When you're thinking it, I don't know. I think post Sandy, the issue of climate change is an incredible story, and Cuomo, has been very overt in talking about the realities of climate change, all the stuff of needing to build differently, whether or not build along the shore anymore. It was on the front page of the Times today. I mean, it's a big discussion about now whether it's in our purview, whether or not. I mean, it depends on how we perceive our topics as being how relevant. Or how, we talked at one point about the Regional Plan Association and looking at things that affect our region, and that just seemed to me as something that you could really get some great.
I think that
maybe it's just too big.
I think it is too big that way, but to go down is one of the implications for the current discussion on changes in how you plan for the city of New York is much more direct. Mm-hmm. And I think that would be very interesting. And they're talking about even Christine, whatever, talking about building floats out in the harbor, mm-hmm. across the block. The specific implications for the city of New York and the planning for the city, I think, takes it from climate change to
right.
what's it going to do?
I guess for our region, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. No, even the city. Yeah. The city
would be.
It's precisely the thing that I had in mind, and I had sent an email, which I hope you still have, I think I still have it,
about a plan
that's out there. But
right.
now that we've seen so much coverage in the last few weeks, it's clear to me that the station has to keep up day by day with what's happening in the Rockaways, what's happening in the New Jersey communities. They can't give that much time to the longest range planning. It comes up a tiny bit, and it's come up in the Times. But that's where I feel we can make, if we could get this panel together, a really significant contribution. It should be New York and New Jersey, but I'm putting it in terms of New York because that's what most of the coverage has been. Can New York survive? What would we have to do to prevent our infrastructure from being just totally flooded out? And there have been all these suggestions. Some of them are really far out, like build new wetlands. This is up your alley, Joyce, right? Mm-hmm. Or these huge gates.
That's what I mentioned, Christine.
Right. If we could put out the longest range plans and their costs and intersect those with the amount of rise we're going to have in the oceans in that period so that the oceans don't outstrip any planning that we might have, and what those costs would be. I don't think the station, because they have to keep up with the news, I think they'd really be grateful for that kind of presentation.
Is the community advisory board's job to, I don't know, I'm new. So is it our job to get into that kind of programming sort of stuff?
It's not programming. May I speak to this? I'm sorry, I don't want to interrupt Joyce, but there's a mission.
Right.
After a year of soul searching and reforming ourselves, we came up with an idea that was partly inspired. We did all this research on what other CABs were doing all around the country. Mm-hmm. And we came up with an idea. Joyce was on that committee. Mm-hmm. I was on it.
Renee
was on it. Mm-hmm. Of doing these interface meetings. Joyce never liked the term. I'm very glad to get rid of it. But that WAMU is doing it. They're bringing issues to their station. They've been doing it for a few years. Mm-hmm. And the station sends their reporters. And they send a lot of people to it. They give them breakfast at the same time. We haven't seen them gotten into that. And they come up with the ideas, and they're working off the regional plan there for the Washington metropolitan mm-hmm. area, and taking up long-range planning issues and bringing, if you will, some of the talent and some of the thinking, long-range thinking, to the station. So the station kind of has that as background information for the programming we do. This is not programming.
Okay.
But these are core issues, and all of this came out of a year of thinking of what can we do mm-hmm. that serves the community, that serves the station.
Okay.
You know, that
so,
is
right. So
really
we just
effective.
Give some framework.
Right, and it replaced the kinds of programs that we were running, which were just for the public, and seemed to have a closed loop. I mean, sometimes the public came, mostly they didn't come. Mm-hmm. They weren't put out on air. The station didn't come.
Right.
So
it's like little mini salons almost, like put a couple of good heads together and see what they come up with.
Well, no, we had themes. They were right. all themed meetings. We worked on them very hard.
You learn a lot about the type of tones that people
But they didn't make much contact with the station.
Okay.
That's the big
thing. We came up with this idea of being a service to the station. and a function that we ourselves, either out of our own talents, which is unusual, but that would be unusual, but at least our talents for reaching out for people who do have those talents,
yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. To bring them to the station.
Okay.
One thing that occurs to me is that the extent to which we as a body become more diverse in our representation, we not only try to reflect what we think the rest of the community may be thinking about New York Public Radio, but we ourselves are also the public. So we can also rely upon ourselves to be able to say, hey, I would really like to see the station do X. There's nothing wrong with saying that.
Right.
Either as an individual CAB member or more collectively.
I love this idea of Hurricane Sandy and long-term planning. I think that sounds great and it's relevant. Another interface in quotes that I would really personally like to do, since my interest really is QXR, although all this other stuff is pretty fascinating too, but maybe a year out, I would love to see something classical musically oriented. Mm-hmm. The big issue in classical music is, John, you can be streaming us from Arizona.
Yeah, I'll do it from Arizona.
you go to Carnegie Hall. I was at a most gorgeous concert yesterday at Carnegie Hall in the afternoon, and it's like everybody there is like one of the youngest people there. I'm not exactly young. So I think it would be really nice to do something with community, because in my other life I work with nonprofit community groups, and there's so much fascinating stuff going on out there, especially opera, baroque. It's like all the classical music forms that were really hot in the 60s seem to have gotten hot again, and all these young people doing it. So I think, I don't know exactly what, but some kind of a music-oriented, maybe classical music, because that's mostly what QXR is programming right now. Could be contemporary classical, it could be young groups, but something.
They had the 10-hour Beethoven string
quartet
for 10 hours yesterday. I heard Mitulzi talking.
It was great.
It was. I had it sort of on and off.
But I was sitting in Carnegie Hall. The other thing they do in the morning that's fascinating, they have these little Beethoven tidbits. I don't know if they're doing it every week or it was just last week.
But they were doing unusual things.
Like Beethoven wrote like one-off things like something for the mandolin. Who knew ever wrote anything for the mandolin? Like stuff that you never knew existed. You certainly never hear performed. And they take them off these obscure labels wherever they are.
Naomi and Bill McLaughlin and Sarah Fischko would be a lot of little tidbits about Beethoven, which is quite interesting.
Ooh, you just in saying Sarah Fischko just reminded me of that. I love it, your idea of the music. The other thing that I thought was so interesting is that Sarah Fischko's doing a special program on 1913.
Right.
And the arts and the upheaval in the arts of that year. And I know she was doing, so I don't know if she already did it in the green space. I couldn't
remember. It started on the 13th of November. So it started on
11/13. Is it continuing?
It's continuing.
But it's going to result in something more public or...
There's going to be something
just
larger.
That was just a beginning run of it.
Because I've missed... But I was so fascinated by the fact of looking historically at 2013, 100 years before, and looking at the arts, the cultural shifts.
Yeah.
And maybe we could do something with looking at our, sort of do a contrast. So in 2013, we were talking like before the internet, the conception of what the FCC was asking of something like us. That shouldn't be the topic, but taking 1913 that's going on and looking at 2013 with some new lens. I don't know. What's happening
now? Yellow dog journalism. It's like the newspapers in New York compared to Fox and MSNBC. I mean, that would be
that's sort of what I'm writing a book about. It's only 20 years, not 100. Sorry.
Well, before we go too far ahead, let's talk about spring and the topicality of the Sandy and the storm planning. If we want to actually do something for next spring. do we feel that this is a reasonable way to pursue? So it would essentially be people from the station, but also people from the Regional Plan Association and other people who have spoken to these people from the New York City Planning Department, who have spoken to the issues of what do we have to do to protect our city, and have that as an interface, if that's what we thought would be interesting.
When you're saying people from the station, they're mostly as audience.
Yeah, but they haven't been coming. That's what I'm saying. The difference with that they really have to be participants this time, even as audience. But it's not that we go and do another thing in the green space and we tell them about it at the end of the year in a report. It really has
you
to be.
We need a lot of advanced planning, because I don't think we can get them until we show them a really impressive guest list.
Yeah.
See, I sort of feel like, you know, we're advising a public radio station, and we just got to keep asking ourselves if the programming that we're doing is helping the station, and just make sure that we don't go too far afield.
MJ, you were going to say something.
Well, I'm piggybacking on what Beth's saying, because where my mind goes is, does the hook, or does the CAB hook with that, become also from a lens of, and what does public information look like in those moments? Mm-hmm. Because mm-hmm. you're in Sandy,
that's
you know, the AM transmitter went out, but yet so many people, you know, you can't stream it on the web, but again, you can get on your battery. And so what role am I sort of piggybacking in the
right way? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
There's got to
that's
be a
great.
Media element to it.
Yeah, definitely.
There's some other elements that aren't media-based. There's got to be a tie to the media.
Well, my thought of this, and maybe I'm wrong, but I think that any radio station, and this one included, does a very poor job about telling people about planning. I mean, planning goes on all around us. Bureaucrats are making decisions all the time. What's being zoned, what's being developed here, what public monies are going into private enterprise things like that big Knicks stadium and so on. And it's a sort of esoteric, airy-fairy topic, and they just let things happen and politicians make decisions. And I don't think that the public is very well informed about these major decisions that are being made by professionals about they don't know what's going on, really. And it may affect their neighborhood, it may affect whether they choose to stay and live here, it may affect the economic health of the city, the decisions that are being made. And I think it's a very difficult topic and not covered well to the basic public. And I think that's a very good role to play in terms of letting the public know, hey, these really big decisions are on the cusp now because of what happened. Cuomo doesn't want to rebuild as is. He wants to rebuild very, very differently, which is huge money, changing the way infrastructure is built. And it's going to take big money. But the public that it goes, well, planning. I was in it for years, and you just see the eyes glazing over, because it's hard to make people feel that it really impacts their life. I used to say, tell people what it is, tell them why they should care, and, you know, how it's going to affect them, make them understand. So
she speaks to the Westchester Planning Commission.
But I think, I think sharpening up the way the public station brings these complex issues in a really concrete way to the public is a very good service.
Right, and the way you're describing it is very relevant. It's not so much about the actual city planning. It's about covering city
right.
planning.
Yes.
Yeah. Covering
yes.
the
right.
city.
Yes.
That
communicating
is,
it.
Right.
Yeah.
What
yeah.
is the story that
right.
gets told through?
That's right.
And get done, because it's so hard to get.
It's not only about covering city planning. And if you have a group of, and it wouldn't only be this, but you've got these environmental science professors who are looking at the longest range type solutions to the future of the city. And you put them on a panel. I mean, radio is also performing the role of bringing these alternatives to public view and helping to build a constituency for one view or another view or another view. It's not really covering some planning that's out here somewhere else, but they're also part of the planning process, because there's all this public input. So I kind of agree with you, but I think that radio is not just covering.
It really is getting the facts out there, but also making sure that they get out in a way that people understand.
The question is whether the station... I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Well, I was just thinking about what Beth and MJ were saying. I agree with you. I think it's like... It's not just in and of itself, but it's like, can this be something that the station wants to take on in some way? Otherwise, you know, like, what is its relevance to the station? And either we are trying to set a public... I mean, they have a public mission, so maybe they're just not thinking about it in these terms.
See, what
I'm just trying to think of the connection that you're describing, because it's really important, you know.
But they've been describing what happens, what has happened, and they're reporting daily what's happened.
No, they definitely are reporting daily. And they're even reporting, and Leonard Lopate and Brian are reporting on some conceptual things, not just...
Yeah,
literal.
Yeah, Brian had someone that was talking about giant floodgates at the Verrazano Bridge last week.
But if we could, you know, bring all of those ideas together with really some of the best people, that would be a service. Plus the coverage thereof. But I really got to ask now. We've got 2 minutes left. We haven't got a plan yet going forward to this one idea, and would we be only presenting them this one idea, or just doing this one idea and telling them, or how do you see it, Joyce?
We've heard two, right? We've heard something about
future
of classical music, and we've heard
I think the topicality of this for the spring
is the next one
very germane, you know.
Well, because we'll be able to cover things that are 6 months later and be able to circle back to things that we're all sick of right now, but people will still be dealing with this daily, in their lives.
I'd like to put the Centennial of World War I on the list, actually.
Practically speaking, I don't know that we could do... two in the spring.
No,
on the big list.
It's a longer list.
Yeah. Yeah. 1914.
It would be great to go to them with three things and say, but this is the one we want to do this spring.
Yeah.
But if we are going to do it this next spring, and we're not meeting until January, don't we need a committee for this?
Yes, and you notice committee structure down here we have on the agenda. I did want to go over who's on the committee structure. Because I have notes from last time, but I wanted to be sure that I have it.
This would be a special committee.
Well, I understand that, but we also have people who are traditionally involved in research and so on. So we have communication, and that's Matt and Beth and Sarah and Dan and Lisa. And under that is kind of the Facebook thing as well. Yeah. Is everybody still committed to being that? Lisa's not here tonight, and Dan is not here tonight. So I'll have to check on that. For recruitment, Eleanor, Judith and Steve co-chairs, and Eleanor and Lou Ann. And then research, I still have you, Renee, for research, and MJ, and Siobhan, and Michael. And then... the ones that I basically have, those three. Now, is it something that research committee wants to take on to start fleshing this out? Not getting just the participants yet, but fleshing out?
Well, I think research can help, but maybe there are other people who also want to, who aren't officially on the committee.
Especially given that Renee has just done an incredible amount of work.
Yeah.
Well, most recent.
I like doing this kind of thing. It feels sort of useful somehow. So I don't mind doing it as long as there's some help along the way.
Well,
I don't mind doing some of it.
Can I suggest that any given interface, we have an ad hoc committee?
Yes.
In charge of that particular interface, and then they can call on the other committees for resources as needed.
Yeah, that makes sense. So, but then I'm not sure where it leaves the role of the research committee, but we'll deal with that later.
But I think it's also very important that there are some people who haven't come for
several different times.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, who's really here to do that? Mm-hmm. Doesn't have, because there were a lot of names not mentioned. So, I mean, is somebody else might be very interested in it and we don't even know, or are they going to be here to...
Okay.
It's just something.
Well, I'd be willing to help, and I think you could survey the board by email. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah.
You
know, well, let me put together what I think we heard from how this is going to be, not only an actual discussion of what's facing us, but also particularly how the communication of this and the informing the public as to the choices that are going to very much affect them is part of the coverage of this next interface. So it's kind of a two-pronged thing. But the station's going to be more involved in how they communicate the choices before the public to the public. That's really the, and if they're doing that job, not just this is what's happening now, but these are the choices that are going to be facing us and get the public's buy-in and interest and participation in being part of that choice thing. So I'll send that around, and then we'll see who responds in terms of the ad hoc committee for that particular item, okay? I have a note here on the WNYC Gala. Unfortunately, it's just been canceled for this year.
They just decided.
Well, it was supposed to be on the 29th, wasn't it?
Yes, of course, but I thought they would reschedule it.
So it's no more?
Not for this year. I would like to make a special mention, please, that tonight we're losing John. He's heading off to a brand new life in Arizona.
Yep. I've really enjoyed being on this board for almost 6 years. And the first year I felt very isolated because I didn't know what the hell was going on. Second, third, and fourth years were frustrating. But I must say in the last couple of years, with those of us who sort of rebelled a little bit and made, we hope, a better board. The kind of things we're talking about tonight are very, very good. And I appreciate your leadership and your involvement. And
can you call in
here
from Arizona?
yeah, sure. And Eleanor, I want to ask you, I'm going to start taking piano lessons again, and you mentioned somebody else.
Yeah, and I've got this teacher in Phoenix.
Yeah.
John, when are you leaving? And are you keeping your same email address?
I have my same email address, although I must say that I've been having some strange problems with it. So I have your email, I assume, if you haven't changed it recently.
Mine hasn't changed, and I've got yours, and I've got two musicians in Phoenix I have to introduce you to.
Well,
at least two.
Let me give you my email address that I know is going to work for a while.
Yes.
johndewitt123@gmail.com.
No breaks?
No breaks. No spaces. No
numbers. 123.
Yes, johndewitt123@gmail.com.
This is Siobhan. Why are you leaving us?
I hate you all here.
is it too cold?
Sometimes. I was going to retire on June 30th. This year, I involuntarily retired myself on February 2nd, and I've been closing down my business ever since. And I have a daughter out in Scottsdale who's a pastry chef.
Ooh.
And I want to get some good desserts.
Does she mail order?
No, I'm going to be living in Mesa in a very small senior community of only 470 apartments. And I get 3 meals a day, and I don't have to cook for myself anymore.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, there's some advantages. I have been asked by somebody in the Mesa American Disabilities Board to join her council, and there are both a full-time classical and news station in Phoenix, and who knows? But meanwhile, I'm going to be concentrating and writing an e-book with many examples, both audio and textual, on the DeWitt family history from 1295 to the present. So that I'm going to have a lot of fun with. And I will miss coming to meetings like this and the other community activity I've been involved in, but it's very nice to get so many of you, know so many of you. So thanks a lot.
John, is your birthday January 23rd? Is that why you're 123?
No. I think it was a hell of a lot easier to remember. Rather than say, you know, 794 or something like that.
When are you actually going out?
A week from tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
A week.
Yeah, I
mean, you're going to send us your address? And
yes, I will. I will, in fact, send out information to all of you.
Celebrate with you.
You're going in
a week.
Yeah, I know. I have.
Tried to get a
person. I have dinner tonight.
Oh,
they
were so
sweet.
Is there going to find me and dine?
No, but you didn't get
that. We did, but that doesn't mean we can't do it again.
Thank you, Sarah, for that.
The only late night left for my schedule is Saturday night.
Really? That's so exciting.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah. I love that too.
Well, I mean, a lot of people are still.